Hello, Kershaw County. Welcome to the Liberty Report. On today's report, we discuss the goings-on of the October 10th Kershaw County Council meeting, where there is discussion about rezoning the property next to Lugoff Elgin High School, where a proposed cell tower will be going in. And the Woodward Park flim-flam continues with three options proposed by the rec department and the rec commission. Then we got a new roof going on the old jail. And last but not least, an update on Katie Gwynn, where she's been, what's going on, and is she using stolen ballot? Stay tuned. The Liberty Report continues.
The government claims a right, and then their claim is that they derive these rights from the people.
Right.
Well, how can people give a group rights that they don't themselves have?
To steal from each other.
Right, if we can't tax people, like I can't tax you, where exactly does government derive this right from? You realize that the goal ought to be as voluntary a society as possible. Now, how exactly you achieve that, how far you can push that is debatable, but certainly that should be the goal. That if government is providing a service for you, well then why does it need to be provided by force?
First up, we have Lugoff Elgin High School cell phone towers. Now, Kershaw County School District and Billy Smith, who is their chief operations officer, has been working on a deal with a T-Mobile cell phone company for putting up a cell phone tower at Lugoff Elgin High School and the middle school right there. In an effort for safety and security so that cell phones work better, because the SROs can't use cell phones apparently, and communication in there is not too good. Well, during the first reading is where we really get the idea of what's going on. So let's listen in to the September 26th meeting to find out what this rezoning is all about.
First reading of case 2317. This is rezoned Lugoff Elgin High School from R15 to B2. And let's get a motion put on the floor. Is there a motion put on the floor?
So moved.
All right. Is there a second?
Second.
Second. All right. Before I go to discussion, can I refer to legal? Get an update on this.
Yes. This rezoning amendment was brought about by a desire and an expressed need of the school district to have a cell tower on that site. Principally, I understand it's driven from a public safety perspective. The school district, I understand, has radios to communicate in the event of school emergencies or crisis, God forbid, but not everyone has a radio, and cell service is very spotty out there. So, again, the school district has presented this as a kind of operational and safety need on site. A small parcel could not really be singled out for a rezoning for spot zoning issues. So the entirety of the property is proposed for this rezoning. The school or institutional use is an allowed use within that district as well as the existing district, so there is overlap. Again, it's not drifted too horribly far, and I understand from the school district there also might be some reversion clauses within their property instruments that would prevent some of the perhaps more undesirable, more intense uses that are allowed in that district.
Very good.
Mr. Vice Chair?
Yes, if I may.
I think you were getting ready to do
that's
it.
That's what I was getting.
Okay, go right ahead.
I see we have Billy Smith, some fine folks out. Do you have anything you'd like to share? Bring up anybody you have with you, any guest?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and council members. We thank you for your time. It was very well said by Mr. DeBose, and I appreciate him and his eloquence in stating that. But yes, since I was principal at Lugoff Elgin Middle School in 2004, we have been trying to find someone to partner with to get a tower, not necessarily on our property, but anywhere near there. Anybody that lives in the Lugoff area around there knows the Watery, Lugoff Elementary, Middle School, the high school area. Yeah, the coverage is just spotty to that would be putting it good. And it is a safety and security issue. Yes, we do have radios. Yes, we do have phones, but internet can go down and we lose our phones. And everybody does not, as stated before, everybody does not have radios. So it would be a comfort to know that we had better cell phone coverage there. We did not ask for, I know Joey, this was the best fit for what we were asking for as far as the zoning. We do not care to do anything else with that property. There's $300,000 to $400,000 worth of taxpayers' things there that I do not think even people in the future would want to go and mess with. So we just want to assure everybody of that. Where the tower is going is in between Richardson and the school. It kind of sits down low and is 195 feet. Is that correct, Mr. Yates, who is the attorney for Milestone? I appreciate him being here, which means it does not have to have the red light that some people worry about and it being a nuisance and maybe keeping them up at night. Okay. So we've tried to, and we didn't just, we didn't go out looking for them. They came to us. There is one provider right now on the tower that is T-Mobile, and we have space for three more. So they're working hard to try to get AT&T and Verizon and someone else on that tower. We have been working on this for a year. We looked at probably 10 spots to try to find the least place, the least vulnerable place for that thing to be and not encroach on our neighbors and bother them. Be glad to answer any questions.
Thank you. Would you like to introduce your guest?
Yes, this is Mr. Yates, attorney for Milestone.
Welcome, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, members of council. I just want to, as you can tell, if you follow Billy, you don't have to say much.
Correct.
But no, I want to thank Billy. I want to thank the school district. And I really want to thank Joey for working with us, working on a solution where we could solve the school's problems and do it in the best way for the county. These people have been incredible, and I thank them.
Thank you very much. Council members, anybody like to say something? Mr. Tucker.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. Billy, appreciate you as always, but it's good to hear that it's not going to need a red light. Of course, you know, I have family members that live on that corner right there that would like to sleep at night as well. Hopefully it'll help him stop at that stop sign, though. They don't like that four-way stop because they end up in his yard all the time. But I just want to say I appreciate you doing this. And I saw where the vote was unanimous coming out of planning and zoning. And also it was very compatible with our current comprehensive plan. So that makes it real easy to support. Thank you.
Any other comments? All right. All in favor? Let it show the record's unanimous. Thank you folks so much. Billy Smith, you're a legend in Lugoff, South Carolina. Thank you, both of you, for all you do. Appreciate it. All right.
Now, as you can hear, Billy Smith is saying that we've been working for over a year on this. And then he said, T-Mobile came to us. Well, were you looking for a carrier or did T-Mobile come and get you? I would really like to see the emails back and forth and see who was catering to who. What is interesting about this is at this point during the meeting, nobody asked any questions about the safety of RF radiation in cell towers. But with this first reading, on the second meeting, the meeting of October 10th, one guy came up and spoke about the RF frequencies, Curtis Butler, who lives right behind Lugoff Elgin High School and is a critical infrastructure works for, and he works for all the cell phone carriers and has been doing research for a number of years, came up and commented to County Council. As he does his commentary, look at the headlines that are constantly coming out and remind yourself of what happened during the pandemic and the lies that were told by the regulatory agencies and how the agencies have been captured by Big Pharma. And think about this: if you trust any of your government regulatory agencies today.
Next speaker is Mr. Curtis Butler. Subject is tower.
Mr. Butler, welcome.
Hope everybody's doing okay today. My name is Curtis Butler. I live behind the school. I've been a critical infrastructure developer and researcher for over a decade. I currently work for all your major cell phone tower companies, their customers, and civil engineers, and all the major cable companies. So what I wanted to speak to you guys about today, like I said, I'm not trying to raise any alarm. I'm not here for scare tactics or anything like that. I also work with the International Commission of Biological Effects of Electronic Fields. We do a lot of research. So the subject is, of course, the cell tower going up on the school. I can only give you the facts that I know. I know you can only take so much into consideration. There is a concern about it being so close to the school. When you have RF, microwaves, magnetic waves that come across, they don't just stop because we tell it to. We're looking at 2100 megahertz, 1700 megahertz, and 1800 megahertz being distributed over the top of our children's head. Not only my children, other people's children in this room. So when we get into talking about that, that is a force that you cannot physically see. You have to have very high-end detective device to create the signature of RF leakage. RF leakage can make you pass out, but it cannot be seen. We have metal roofs on top of the school. That will help some to protect those children while they're inside of the school. But the problem is we have outside activities that we use for the children. So the baseball field, whether it be ROTC, ban, whatever. Now, this isn't gonna happen as soon as they walk out of the door. This is gonna be an effect over the course of a couple years. I've worked with it for so long, I've been in front of these cabinets and I've experienced some problems going forward with that. So what we need to look at and consider is what we're gonna do to the children if we put that tower there. Not only that, but the environmental issues that it's gonna create because a cell phone tower uses three patches of antennas, alpha, beta, gamma. It triangulates and it shoots a signal out across waves. Any trees, whatever the case might be, over the course of the year, it will kill the tree from the top and rot it down to the bottom, and then the next tree, and then the next tree. So there's a lot of concerns for me being in the industry and seeing it and being around. Not only that, we took stuff down off of UNC because it was bothering the students there. Washington Elementary, we took it down. We just took down a cell tower in Idaho off the ski resort because the residents that were there were having issues. That's all I have, but that's my concerns.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
So after those comments, there are several steps to get to the proposed ordinance that's in now to second reading. And Jimmy Jones wants to know what Billy Smith and T-Mobile have to say about what Mr. Butler said during the public comments. Let's listen in to what they have to say.
I would like to ask our attorney and school official, excuse me. Yeah, if you'd like to address anything that because we heard about these microwaves or whatever. I have some concern. I want to make sure we've done our due diligence on that and we know where we're going and what we're doing.
Absolutely, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for the opportunity. And Councilman, thank you so much. Billy Smith, Chief Operations Officer for Kershaw County School District. You were given a handout that talks about the compliance and monitoring of this tower. Of course, first of all, I want to thank Mr. Butler for coming in and voicing his concerns. I'm sure they're not just his concerns. There's others' concerns, and giving his opinion from his experiences. We absolutely want to know all that's out there. We're not trying to hide anything. We want to be as clear as crystal on all of this. But what you have before you is a study that was done that gives you what the FCA regulations are.
And we'll stop right here and talk about the FCC regulation. And we know Big Pharma has got a hold of the FDA and the CDC, but Big Tech does not have a hold of the FCC. The FCC standards, the maximum amount of RF waves, it hasn't been looked at, hasn't been changed since 1996. The growth of cellular communication and the amount of RF transmitter waves is astronomical over the last 20 years as smartphones take over the market. But Billy Smith has got studies that say it's safe. It's under the FCC requirement.
And what their maximum exposure that they have, and you can see on the front page there down at the bottom, this was done by an independent engineering firm, DBM Engineering, and we can get him on the phone, Mr. Peterson, that wrote this, if you'd like to speak with him, that this is going to expose the exposure from this tower with all four, if we get all four carriers on there, not just T-Mobile, would be less than 8.2% of the applicable FCC standard at all locations. Now, are we going to trust just by what this engineer? Now, I'm no expert. Billy D. Smith is no expert. And also, we are going to inspect or we expect. So you also have on there to where we're the company, Milestone, hires a third-party monitoring company to come back, and you can see a sample of where they will go out around the school and the neighborhood surrounding the school and do tests and monitor, and we'll look at that and see actually what it is putting out once it's put up.
Mr. Smith, how frequent would those tests be done?
I know it's not, I know we're going to have one done after it's put up.
Okay.
Now.
So how often are they going to test, Billy? I know they do it once when they put it up. And they're going to test it to make sure now that it's under that maximum that has been set by the Federal Communications Commission on behalf of Big Tech. Way back in 1996, despite, as you saw before, all the questions, all the science that is showing us that this RF radiation and 4G and 5G is causing more and more problems. And yet we want to put it at a right beside a school. Even though Carolina has taken down a lot of theirs because of complaints. But for safety and security, so our SROs can search the web and see YouTube and do Facebook, and just in case, you know, somebody crazy comes in there and we got to call in reinforcements, they need to be able to use that cell phone for safety and security.
Now, I would imagine if we add carriers to that, but they don't all go up at the same time. So we get two to start with and then one later on and one. After, we would ask...
There would be subsequent.
We would ask that there be tests done after each carrier is added. Because as he stated, it adds to the frequency.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
So here Billy says, oh, there's going to be more tests. See, as we add carriers like AT&T and Sprint and Verizon or any of them, you know, they're going to test them because, yeah, it'll be a little bit more, but not much. And so everything's good, guys. But listen to what he says now.
But y'all know personally our school board members. You know our superintendent, and you know me. And in the name of safety and security, we would never, ever do something to put the health of our students and our faculty and staff at risk. And you got my promise on that.
Ladies and gentlemen, he's risking his whole career, his whole, you know me, I'm a good guy. This is safe. This is safe. I've done all my homework. We're right, that the government says we're good. And for safety and security, you know I would never hurt children. And Billy, I understand that. But Billy, have you done your homework, really? Are you staking your reputation on something that you understand and you know the facts? Is there a question of whether it can do harm? What kind of homework did you do? Or were you just looking where you wanted to believe? And so he continues.
You know, one thing that if you turn to the next to last page that I found interesting, there's a bar graph there, and it shows you the frequency of different things, the baby monitor, Bluetooth headset, FM TV, very surprising about the push-to-talk walkie-talkies. And it's the exposure that you get while using these things. If you look at a cell phone right here, you get much, much more greater percentage of exposure by holding. We know every one of those kids in that school go around with these things all the time and got them near than you would get from this tower.
So here he's saying, now, we already get a whole bunch of radiation and all from these cell phones and all, walkie-talkies and all of it. And so this is just a little bit more. Not understanding that there has been a lot of evidence saying all kinds of things happening from people putting these smartphones up to their heads. Brain tumors, brain fog, all sorts of neurological problems. And yet, here he's excusing it away because it's less on a cell phone tower than it is on, and if he's concerned about the safety of the kids and all, why isn't he advocating that all cell phones go into a lead case when you get to the schoolhouse and you don't get them back until you leave the schoolhouse again? Safety and security. But the problem is these people don't do their own homework. They get this study and that study laid out to them from T-Mobile. And T-Mobile's attorney, Mr. Yates, in this case, and they do none of their own homework. Much like the fever system that the school district bought during the Corona scare, and everybody had their temperatures taken by this infrared gadget working on a smartphone that we showed was totally incapable of doing the job. And the school district and the sheriff's department and the county council all purchased these units that are worthless because they didn't do their homework, which we did for them. And this is yet another case where the people are not doing their homework. The people that took the jobs that are supposed to look for safety and security remain ignorant because they're lazy. Ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't done any research into the cell phone controversy, the cell phone conspiracy theory, please just look at, do a search. Get on your little search engine, preferably not Google, state-run search engines. Go to your search engine and punch in cell phone tower radiation. RF radiation and look and begin to understand what is going on, what is the controversy, and how does it affect the people around us. I am one to err on the side of caution. There seems to be a lot of questions about whether or not this is safe over a long period of time, and especially in young people when they're not fully developed. Should we err on the side of caution and reject this rezoning? Go put that cell tower a quarter of a mile away. Do something else. Get it away from a mass of little mines of mush. Anybody that's interested should call your county councilman and say, have you looked into this? I've looked into this a little bit, and there seems to be some problems here. Our council is not doing their own homework. You have to do it for yourself, the protection of your kids, and then you have to tell them, because they're not going to do it. They're going to sail this through the next meeting, and there's going to be a cell phone tower down there. So if you're concerned at all about this, you might want to consider attending the next meeting and commenting and showing that you don't know if you ought to do this or not. At least table it until you can do more research. In our second story, we got the Woodwork Park Flim Flam. You see, the rec department and the rec commission were told by county council to go look at how we can spend this $10 million that MUSC and county council are in agreement with. That wasn't it MUSC that said it could only go to Woodward Park? I think that was what it was. But for some reason, county council wanted three options that would include Woodward Park and Larry Doby. And so Mr. Shane, the head of the rec department, comes before council with what Alliance Planning and Consulting from downtown Columbia, one of the biggest social engineer companies in South Carolina, has put together for you to look at. Go ahead, Mr. Shane.
So the first option is the Larry Doby complex option. So that rendering shows what could possibly happen with the $10 million that could be possibly set aside to build a new park, okay? This includes four baseball fields. You can see all the soccer fields, walking trails, disc golf course, outdoor basketball courts, paved parking, a lot of what we need. So that first rendering is the Larry Doby complex. So we'll move to the second one. The second one is a rendering of the Woodward Park complex. Very similar, also same ideas, just a different setup. Ball fields, paved parking, soccer, outdoor courts, playgrounds, walking trails, same thing. Everything that we could possibly need in this park. The next two are, it's a combination. The option three was a combination of both parks. So the first one, we would do some work on soccer fields over at the Larry Doby complex, and you can see the black line there is the actual walking trail that would be included. And this particular plan does not include the ball fields, the baseball and softball fields. The next plan for Woodward Park would include the baseball fields, softball fields, in that plan. So in that third plan, it kind of, you know, shows something that would be done at both parks.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen, the three options. Which one would you choose? Which one do you think that the Rec Commission, who all their members are members that have been promoting the travel baseball park Woodward deal from the beginning. What do you think they recommended?
So with these projects, what Parks and Rec was asked to do was put these projects before our Rec Commission and let them formulate basically a recommendation for this council. So if you go ahead and go to the next slide and the slide after that. We had that meeting and our rec commission voted unanimously to recommend the Kershaw County Council to pursue the $10 million project at Woodward Park, contingent on the purchase of the adjacent land with the proposed $10 million budget. And that recommendation also includes those other small projects that I have included in the presentation, the ball fields, the lights, the parking expansion. And those will be included in that $2 million that's being set aside as well.
Woodward Park. Well, there are some questions being raised as to the Woodward Park. How many acres do you have to buy? Currently, there's 35 acres there, and they were talking about buying another 35 acres for $500,000. But on top of that, roads. And Sammy Tucker brings up the issue first.
Shane, is there anything in the that proposal from you or the rec department to address any of the wetlands, or is that all being spent on purchase of land and recreation facilities? And is there anything in that proposal that addresses the traffic problem that we will occur?
There's nothing in that proposal as far as the traffic. There's no traffic study included in that proposal, so there would have to be one there.
If I could follow up, Mr. Tucker, one quick thing.
So they've done nothing about traffic. There's nothing in this proposal, this $10 million proposal, to deal with traffic. Now, Sammy goes on to say later on in his briefing that at the COG, they talk about new construction and expanding highways is around $10 million a mile. And that at the COG, they only have about $5.5 million a year to spread out across the Midlands, across the five counties for their little projects. So state and federal dollars would have to come in some kind of which way. And how are you going to get egress and coming out, going in and going out? How are you going to take care of a traffic load? Say we were to have a travel baseball tournament with 24 teams or something, and how are you going to get in and out? This is a problem that's not budgeted in, but it'll have to be spread over many years. So as you can see, what we've been saying from the beginning, that this park is going to end up at 15, 20, who knows, $25 million. Or maybe never be completed because we don't have the money. And the state and federal government is running out of money. We're $33 trillion in debt. Is this just going to be a continuation of the same thing that we've done over and over again? We start something that looks grandiose, but because of our budgetary constraints, we lower down the scale of it, and then we say, well, we'll take care of that later, and we'll take care of this later, and it never gets done. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Woodward Park Flim Flam. Remember, you can always go to the Kershaw County YouTube page and look at these meetings. You can scroll through in the leisure of your house and listen to what they're actually doing. Most of them don't do their homework. Most of them just go along to get along, scratch other people's backs. And then they got pipe dreams. They got champagne dreams on beer budgets. Is this just another one of those? In our third story, which isn't much of a story, there has been talk and now planning on what to do with the old jail. Are we going to remodel and expand it? Are we going to tear it down and build a new one? But the jail is falling apart and the roof's leaking and the showers need fixed. And so they had already budgeted $600,000 to fix some of these things. And they voted on the 10th to spend $247,000 and some change to put a new roof on it. Now, in 30 months or 50 months or whenever they decide, it may be just trash or it may be part of the expansion. But there's another item of spending, of necessary spending, that the money from Woodward Park. Do we need bread and circus or do we need essential infrastructure? In our fourth and final story, an update. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Chairwoman Katie Gwin was absent again. Absent for the cell phone discussion, absent for the comment. Perhaps she was traveling and watching it live on YouTube. She did not call in, but she was absent for personal reasons. But more than that, what did Katie always promote during her campaign, during all her goings on? What does Jimmy Jones say about her? Jimmy Jones always congratulates her and honors her for her service. But after our expose, is Katie using stolen valor? By that, I mean, is she promoting that she is an Apache pilot who has been in war and been in Afghanistan? Is she letting the people of Kershaw County believe that? Remember her post where she said she's one of 40 women helicopter pilots, in that case, Apache helicopter pilots, when she hasn't flown since 2017. Is she using other people's valor, other people's service, as a reflection on her? After that video, we have received so many contacts saying just that at every little group of those aviators that are meeting, just socially, that video and the stolen valor of Katie Gwin is the subject of the conversations. So, ladies and gentlemen, is Katie operating under stolen valor? Is a sad state of affairs here in Kershaw County. That's it for the Liberty Report. I hope you guys get involved. Do your homework on the cell phones and the cell phone towers. Show up to the meeting and voice your concerns. Support or not support. Are you going to let this stand? And what about the Woodward Park? Have you commented? Have you called any of your councilmen yet about any of these issues? We'll put their numbers up at the end. Call them. Let them know. They're people too. They put the pants on just like me and you. Till next time. Peace.
if a government claims a right, and then their claim is that they derive these rights from the people.
Right.
Well, how can people give a group rights that they don't themselves have?
To steal from each other.
Right. If we can't tax people, like I can't tax you, where exactly does government derive this right from? You realize that the goal ought to be as voluntary a society as possible. Now, how exactly you achieve that, how far you can push that is debatable, but certainly that should be the goal. That if government is providing a service for you, well then why does it need to be provided by force?